would be on Mount Zion. Mount Zion is a type of the church. He is waiting, but he's waiting on us to. Of course, I don't think we're also waiting on him. We're waiting on the Lord's time, but I think we are to be doing all that we can do, all that we know to do. We should serve him in our generation and be faithful in all that we know to be faithful in. He's in the process of restoring the New Testament church. That's a beautiful understanding of the Word of God, to know that and understand what happened, why my mother, she's just yesterday just wore her out. But she, every Sunday morning, she watches some of the programs. What's one of them that she watches? And yeah, preachers preaching on Sunday morning. What is his name? Not Stanley, but not Charles Stanley. No, not that. The one she watches, the one you always get her to watch. Charles Stanley? Is it Charles Stanley? Okay. Yeah, well, Charles Stanley's one she watched. But this morning she watched several, you know. One of them, I went in there and she was watching you know, it was a real ecclesiastical program, and she said, is all that rigmarole they're doing necessary? I said, well, it's not necessary for me, but it may be for them. But if they really love God and they're serving him and all they know to do, well, he'll accept that right now. But it is a great thing to understand that the church, New Testament church, did fall away and go into the wilderness, and it caused, and it was necessary, because the Gentiles, as the whole Gentile world trying to embrace the gospel, just it was new to them, and they brought it down on such a carnal level that it wound up in a lot of rituals, and God just had to let it go for a period of time until he could begin to deal with people's minds. Kind of works that way in our lives. When you first come to know God, well, you try to get this puzzle in your mind figured out, and God just has to let you figure. You just got to work on it. But after a while, you'll get to where you realize that I can't figure this out. I need God. I need God's help. And that happened. That men begin to realize what we're trying to come up with, what the New Testament church had, and we can't find it. And it caused men to begin to seek God. And the Lord has been working on the reformation and restoration of the church now since even way back before Martin Luther's day. I'm not talking about Martin Luther King. I'm talking about Martin Luther back in the 1500s. He was a Catholic priest, He was studying the law to be a lawyer, but God got a hold of his mind, and the only boat floating back then was the Catholic Church, and so that's what he joined up with and became a priest. But in his search, God stirred up his mind, and he wanted more answers from what the church had, and he sought for answers, and he didn't want to leave the Catholic Church. He just wanted them to see what he was seeing, and he wanted them to make some changes that he saw needed. One of the things he wanted the Bible written in a language that the saints could understand. Bibles back then were chained to pulpits, and it was only permitted in the church for priests, qualified priests, to read the Bible. He read it and got so excited about it, he said, everybody needs to read this. Everybody needs to know what this is saying. They can't just come to Mass once or twice a week and get all this. They're going to need, they need what we're getting. And he realized that under the old covenant that the people read the whole law. It was available to them. They've studied it from little children. And then he realized the letters of the New Testament church was written to the church. It was read out loud to them. It wasn't hid from them. They weren't just spoon-fed. They got the whole lamb. And the Psalms. He read the Psalms. And he said, even the songs they were singing. See, these people don't know what they're singing in Latin. They need to sing this in a language they can understand, where it can get down in their heart. And they can sing it out of their heart. But the church didn't necessarily see it his way. You know, it's hard to change. It's hard to change. It's hard for men to change, much less groups of men and structures of that's well organized and turns into systems. It's hard to change. So God had to begin to work with men. Started what was called the Protestant movement, which they were called Protestants because they were protesting against the Catholic Church. Now people will just tell you, you know, what faith are you? Well, I'm Protestant. They just say that. Well, that a lot of people don't even know what that means. But the Protestant movement moved forward, and God restored more truth. That was a 360-year period. I'll say from 1543 to 1903 that the Protestant movement was moving across this world and into this United States of America. God preserved this land and sent men over here to this land for the very purpose of finishing the job of restoring the church. That's why, and even though 1776 was when the Constitution was written, but the Declaration of Independence, yes, and declaring, which is what it says, the United States is an independent nation. But they set up laws and a constitution that put in it the separation of the church and state. our Arkansas legislation's working on some bills right now that may affect the church. Right now it's against the law for anybody to carry a gun inside a church or even within 1,000 foot of the building. But the Arkansas Senate passed Senate Bill 71 week before last that said that licensed concealed carriers, those that are licensed and qualified to carry a weapon, handgun, could carry a gun in a church or a place of worship if that church, if its government, would permit it. In other words, they left it up to every church whether or not they would permit that. The reason that bill came up is because our United States of America is in trouble, and there's so much wickedness going on. It really did something to me to have to put an alarm system on this church. But we did it because we were broken into and robbed, and this country's turned into something that you'd never think that a church would. You wouldn't think that thieves or wicked people would stoop so low to rob a church. Or now, and there's several churches that armed men have walked into and just started shooting people. By the way, if anybody ever walks in here and starts shooting a gun, every one of y'all need to know that you need to just get down on the floor between the pews. Get down immediately. But because of people doing that, that makes everybody absolutely helpless. Somebody came in here. You know, criminals know that we take up offerings. We receive tithes and offerings. They know that there's a law that says that nobody can carry a gun in here. So they know they could come in here and rob us, and there wasn't a thing we could do about it. But think about men being so corrupt in their minds that they'd go into church knowing there's nobody in their arm, just start shooting innocent people, killing men, women, and children. So, anyway, but that has to do with, you know, when they passed that law, they violated the law of separation of church and state, putting the law on the church that our forefathers didn't intend for them to do. One of the legislators, by the way, talked to me and said, they said, I just don't believe that a church, that anybody's guns belongs in a church. I said, I agree with you. But if the world becomes so corrupt, and I said, remember, Peter did have a sword. When they arrested Jesus, he did draw his sword. So evidently Jesus wasn't against people being armed in a corrupt world. You know, he did tell him to put it up, that if you live by the sword, you'll die by it. So he knew that this is the will of God. I don't want you protecting me or preventing this from happening. This is what God wants to happen. But anyway, God preserved this country, for the gospel has been further restored in the United States of America more than any other country in the world, and that was something God did. And in 1901, the Pentecostal movement had its beginnings, and I'm using 1903 as a date that it was established. The Pentecostal movement was on the move in America, and finally began to move throughout the world because of what God was doing here in America among people. But the Pentecostal movement is not, it's not the finality of what God's doing. He's still restoring the church. There's a picture of the tabernacle that when you go in the gate, there's a brazen altar. And that altar is a type of the Protestant movement until there was faith preached, until there was sanctification preached. There wasn't anybody really making a sacrifice. There wasn't any cost to salvation. I know salvation's a gift, but it'll cost you a price to accept that gift. You'll have to quit sinning. You'll have to live a holy life, a sanctified life. Martin Luther preached faith. You first have to believe, but then John and Charles Wesley came along and said, you got to come out from among the world, live a righteous life. That's a type of the sacrifice that was offered on the altar, and then the laver. The laver is a type of the Pentecostal movement. It's another step towards the temple or the holy place. The laver is a place that was made out of women's looking glasses, and you could, a priest could look in there and see himself. It's like looking into the, James called it, the perfect law of liberty, the Word of God. When you look into it, you see yourself, and you see what God needs to work on, what He's showing you about your life, that you need to be made righteous. You need to overcome the nature of sin. And, of course, then before the priest could go into the holy place, he had to put on a linen garment. And that's a picture of you and I being clothed with righteousness. Not just being imputed righteous, but that you're really clothed. That the Spirit of God, the nature of God, is taking control in your life. That your mind is being transformed and you're learning the good, acceptable, perfect will of God for your life, and you begin to think more like God. Live. It shows up in your behavior. And so we've got to be righteous to go into the holy place. That's a picture of the Garden of Eden. We got to get back in there to eat of the tree of life and live. That's a place where you can't sin. Adam couldn't sin in there. You got to grow up in God and maturity to a place where you can live above sin, but you're still not perfect. God will still have to finish His work in you. So we haven't arrived yet in the fully restored church, but we're down in the end of the Gentile world, and we know God's going to put His finishing touches on this before He harvests this world and makes up the remainder of His bride out of the Gentile world. Those that will rule and reign with Him for 1,000 years, and then we've got 1,000 years. Brother Zach, I'll see you over there. I don't want you going anywhere right now, or me neither, but I'm planning on ruling and reign with Him, and I'm planning on you being there with me. And so, because I don't want to sleep for 1,000 years and come up in the final resurrection, but I want to be in the first resurrection. The Bible talks about that rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years, and second death has no power over them. Ooh, I covered a lot of ground right here. I hadn't even took up prayer request yet. Anyway, we're in something. Did you know it? Praise God. We're in a work of God, becoming His workmanship. Before this world's over, the Gentile world has never seen a church like the New Testament church. There's never been a church like that church. But when Jesus gets finished, just like He was finished with the Jewish world, the 2,000 years He worked with them, in the end of that world, He brought it to a fruition or a harvest, and there was a remnant that followed Him into regeneration. My Lord. And there's enough of the church restored that regenerating power of the Holy Ghost and the life of God is already working in us. We've been born again. And there's a regeneration taking place in our lives. And Christ is reconciling us to God like He reconciled those in the end of that world. And this is just the beginning. This is just the first fruits. Those that will rule and reign with Him, there's a whole 1,000 years. God just working out of America, and of course America's reaching into all these other countries and have been for many years. But it'll take 1,000 years for every nation to finally come to Christ. Finally, if you die during 1,000 years at 100 years old, the Bible said you'd be cursed if you died that young. This is where the lamb will lay down, the lion will lay down with the lamb. This is where God's going to, the peace of God's word is going to envelop the lives of everyone in this world, or they'll be eliminated by judgment, God's judgment. But every knee, finally, down in close to the end of 1,000 years, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. You won't say to your neighbor, "Do you know the Lord?" We're all annoyed. What would it be like to live in a world like that? You won't have to worry about an alarm system in a church or anywhere else, or a gun or anything else like that. You'll be living in a world. You can leave your doors. You won't even have locks on doors. I'm not even sure before it's over with we'll even have houses. It's not going to storm anymore. There won't be any more tornadoes, tsunamis, or hurricanes, or anything else. We're going back to the garden, Brother John. The water come up, the dew, a heavy dew came up and watered the earth in the garden. It never did get so cold, it'd freeze you. Never got so hot you couldn't stand it. It's tropical climate paradise. Hallelujah. I want to go. I want to be a part of that. I want to live in a world where everybody loves everybody. Brother Weininger, he's already off into eating all the fruit in that tropical garden. And I want some too. Well, there won't be any more death. There won't be any sorrow, no tears. I want to go to that place. I want to be there when it takes place. It'll be right here on this earth. Can you imagine that? And the bride, John saw the heavenly Jerusalem, New Jerusalem, the city of God coming down out of heaven. That's just the bride. I remember one time Brother Neptune years ago, he was trying to figure all that out. He said, "Brethren," we was at the campground, he said, "Can y'all imagine a whole city floating down out of heaven?" And the brethren tried to explain to him, "Brother Neptune, that's not going to be a literal city floating down. Concrete and all, metal and all them high-tired buildings. That's not going to be that way. We're the city of God. The bride of Christ is going to make up that city, and they're going to come down and dwell among us. And God Himself, hallelujah." Yeah, it's going to be a different place than what we know anything about. But I have hope. I'm like Martin Luther King, only I've got a bigger dream. I have a dream. Hallelujah. I've got a vision. Yeah. It's not just a dream, it's a vision. I've seen it. I'm seeing it. And so, what a work. I want to be a part of that. The Bible says I can be a part of the ruling and reigning element. I can rule and reign with Christ. Well, you can start right now letting righteousness rule in your life. Letting the Word of God and the Spirit of God get a hold of your life in such a way that it absolutely arrests sin, the sin nature, and puts it out of business. And the righteousness that's in Christ through the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God and the nature of God in your life can rise up and take over and begin to work the workmanship of God and the work of God and the plan and purpose of God in your individual life. You can have a place. You can be a member in particular of the eternal plan of God. You can't just, you can't do it slothfully. You got to get busy. You got to get on the job. If you catch the vision, you'll get to work. You'll show up and hang around. But I asked them when I first found this, I said, how do you get to be a part of this? They said, just show up and hang around. I knew they were just telling me, you just keep coming and this will get to be a part of you. You know, I got to where I was sitting on the front pew. I wanted to make sure I was getting it. By the way, Amber Lacey. Yeah, she's changed her name. We're glad you're here, Sister Amber. Hallelujah. Get in there and help your mother-in-law and your grandmother-in-law, and y'all will get all them Lacey boys and drag them in here. Get them on the job with you. Yeah, it works. Sister Yvonne York, she used to testify and say, if God can save Doug York, he can save anybody. He was such a devil. She couldn't believe it when God saved him, and she really saw he was really saved. And she used to encourage other people. She said, look, if God can save this devil back here, he can save anybody. And he cleans up pretty nice. Where is he? he missed out on the whole punchline, didn't he? I mean, he would have liked that if he'd been sitting there. He wouldn't have liked everything I said, but the last part he'd have liked. So, anyway, if I keep talking, I'm going to preach. So let's take up the prayer request. Let me give you a couple, before we take them up, let me give you a couple of good reports. We've been asking y'all to pray for Sister Dial because she's been in such pain, her back and all. And she's just been crying and down and hurting so bad. And I called Brother Dial yesterday morning and I said, how's Sister Dial? We've been praying for her, Brother Dial. He said, Brother Smith, we've had a miracle. He said, she don't have a pain. She's running around with me. I keep telling her, honey, are you sure you feel like going? She said, I feel good. I don't have a pain. Let's go. He got up and said, I'm going to go get my coffee and a little something down here at the coffee shop. She said, don't leave. I'm going with you. I feel good. He said, it's nothing short of a miracle, Brother Smith. I said, hallelujah. That's my Jesus. And then Brother David Angelo, all of his results on his test came back that all of his white count and all of the cancer, you know, high cancer risk factors are all going down, down, down. Half. They've dropped in half of what they were. So I called him. I got his voicemail, but I told him, I said, we're praying, we're going to keep praying, we've been praying, we are praying, and we're going to keep praying that God will lift you up out of this condition and restore your health completely. Hallelujah. Brother Daniels, I believe he can do the same thing for you. Hallelujah. It's good to have Brother Ralph Addy, is that right? He works for Brother Shelby some. He's a mechanic, I think. But he's like that income tax preparer on TV. He don't just do that alone. He's not just a mechanic. He goes to church, too. So, aren't we glad he's here today? We appreciate you being here. I guess Brother Vaughn probably had to work today. Yeah, he'd be here today. You know, when you make employee of the month, you get some popper, they put you on the schedule heavier. He's already got a raise. All right, so. Yes, Brother Combs is back. His wife had surgery, and she's at home, but she'll be back. We're glad Brother Combs is here. And hope that maybe he may want to testify or say something. His dad's a pastor down in Hot Springs, isn't that right? And he's worked with him in the ministry down there, so he probably, you know, you can't bridle a preacher forever. They got to say something. Brother Stewart. Yes. Let's remember her. Sister Elsie's in a lot of pain today. She's not doing that good. Sister Gail's over there at the house with her. And I guess Eshon is really sick. I guess he got the flu or running fever and sick. So let's remember them in our prayers also. Caleb's in El Dorado. It's all right. She's coming here if he gets her. I hope. Yes, all of the Smith clan and the Hazlett clans, they're traveling. They've got quite a distance, you know, to go. So pray for their travels. God keep his hand on them. They want to come back and spend a weekend with us. So Sister Ann. All right. Sister Donna Henderson's sick. And then Brother Paul Thompson's mother is going to have some tests run this month. So remember her. Sister Painter's mother's really not doing well at all. So keep her in your prayers. Keep her on the up high on your prayer list. Sister Abraham. All right. Yes. Yes, Brother and Sister McGowan. They contacted me. They're sick. Sister Jody and Brother Jaron is out of town today. One of his school functions. Sister Cindy. Joy Lee. Some of you probably remember Sister Joy Lee, sweet lady. Brother, Sister Joyce, she's really been sick. She's better, but she still ain't all the way out of the woods. Brother Dodson, all right, remember that. All right, Brother Paul David's wife, remember that. All right, unspoken request. I'm sure we've all got some needs that we haven't called out here today. All right, if the ushers would come, we'll let them receive your tithes and offerings. Let's all stand and ask God to meet these needs. Precious Lord, oh God, we love you today. We're thankful for your grace and your mercy. Oh God, for your touch in our lives. You're working today, oh God, in all of our lives, and those that couldn't be here today that have these needs and are in other places, oh God, we ask you to touch these urgent needs, these that are sick in their body and facing deathly illnesses, oh God. Sister Joy Lee, Brother David Angelo, oh God, touch them. Touch them, oh Lord, and help them with these conditions. And these that are sick, that were others that were mentioned here today. Touch them, oh God, help them. Hallelujah. Oh, glory unto the Hosea Kamahai. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you today. We're thankful that we can call on you. Ask for your help in our time of need. You're our present help, oh God. You're our great physician. You're our redeemer and our savior. You're our shield and buckler, Lord. Our protector. Oh God, we're thankful, Lord, for every prayer you've answered, every time you've touched us and helped us, oh God. Oh, precious Savior, bless this congregation today. Oh, God, let us sup with you. Let us eat of the manna from heaven. Let us drink of the water that flows from the river of life. Oh, God, hallelujah. Praise your wonderful name. Praise your name, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Notice we got a tuba today. Don't that sound good? How do you say it? Sisyphone. It ain't a tuba. It's what you was playing was a tuba. This is a sousaphone. Sousaphone. It's this big white thing right back here. It's what we are hearing. Do, 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 do. The big bass. Yes, Brother Adams in Benton Harbor donated that to our church. And we had to get a little, had to get it out, put it in the shop, get a few little things fixed. And I see Brother Paul David finally got a button on his horn. He just had a stem sticking up there, and that's been bothering me for a long time. Seeing his finger mash on that stem, he finally put a button on it. It's going to help me if it don't help him either. All right. Take a mic down there to Brother Combs. Let's, after Sister Wilson gets done testing. No, Sister Wilson, get back up. I ain't setting you down. You don't get up often enough to get set down. You get it back up. Bring her a mic first.
Anytime you're in the house of the Lord, and that was the pastor, he said, you know, it is hard for a preacher not to talk. That's one of my favorite things. I just thank God for being here. I really feel at home here. I mean, my wife talks about being here, and it's nice when you can come into the house of God and feel like family. And it's a shame that saying that being a Christian, that there's a lot of places you can go and not feel at home. But it's something about being here with you guys that just feels at home. In the house of God. And I just thank God for y'all. I thank God for being here. And just pray that God continues to heal my wife. She's had surgery on her foot. She's at home right now. But just pray strength in the Lord and that she recovers speedily. And I have a lot of tasks that I'm going through. I haven't worked in about a week and a half. Been kind of sick, but I know God's going to heal me. And I have a lot of tasks to do in the upcoming weeks. And just pray for me and just keep me in your prayers. Thank you.
Welcome home, Brother Combs. Do you and your wife sing? All right. All right, well, we like to get everything we can out of all, everyone that is working among us, but we don't want to miss out on anything. All right. Let's just make it open here for a little bit, see if the Lord have something. Preachers preach, testifiers testify, singers sing, dancers dance, shouters shout, hand lifters uppers, lift up your hands. Brother Henry a microphone. I want him to testify. He don't say enough around here. Right. We appreciate having him. Yeah. It's a blessing to have all of God's people. Brother Wade, Brother, let's see, who? Oh, Brother Fisher. His company, they had to go on a company convention or something that they're, some kind of schooling or meeting that they had to go to in Tennessee. That's where he's at.
Well, I was thinking earlier, my sister has cancer, and I was kind of, while we were down there, I was thinking of a prayer, and so I figured I'd say one. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He layeth me down in green pastures. He leadeth me by still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in path of righteousness for his name's sake. Woe, though I walk through the shadow of the valley of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. Thou built a table before my enemies. Thou anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life in the house of the Lord. Amen. And I feel that the Lord is watching all of us. And regardless what we do, we should always put him first, along with Jesus Christ, his Son. And if we can tell everybody that and think of that every day. I have a friend that's that you mentioned earlier, Arthur. Every morning he gets up, he texts me a message about how great the Lord is, and says good morning before he goes off to work. I think it's one of the nicest things that anybody's ever done for me, and because I have some troubles myself, but I just want to thank you all for being here, and everybody else for being here too.
Here's one of Brother Arthur Bond's morning texts. He sends me to you, Brother Henry. It says, morning meditation. Father every day offers opportunities for me to express my love to you. May the passion with which I live, work, serve, and relate to others be a fitting expression of my gratitude for your love for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Where's that microphone at? Give it to Brother Johnson. We've been missing Brother Johnson, praying for him.
I'm glad I have missed a lot lately. I've had a lot of things going on. My brother-in-law passed away, and I appreciate all your prayers for my family. It's been a tough time. But when I come back here, it is like coming home. I feel like I'm walking into family. And there's just, I'm sure it's God's spirit that dwells in his people, but I feel that when I come in, and I'm very blessed to be a part of this. And thank you.
I just want to say I'm glad to be here today, and it's always an honor for me to be here every Sunday when I can make it. But I just want to say I'm glad to be here, and I'm a great group of people, and I'll be here next Sunday.
Amen. thank the Lord all the time, but he said Michelle.
Well, Brother Smith, I don't have to be put on the spot. I know that my life is a living testimony. And I'm so thankful for being added to this church. The claws of the world grabs on you, and but God is so good, and his mercy is everlasting, that he loves me so much, even though I'm imputed righteousness. I know I'm not there, but I love him, and he loves me. We have that relationship, and you was talking about that vision. That's what I'm so thankful for, because I could have been in another church, sitting up under another ministry with my eyes wide open, but still not seeing anything what God is doing in his church. So I'm thankful for just having been here, and I know I've been here a long time, and maybe I should be like a teenager now, maybe a little older, but God is so, I'm learning. I'm still learning that line up on line, precept on precept, and I don't pass every test, but that's not my desire, is not to pass every test. It's just this old man. Paul says, I die daily. I was thinking about that one night, laying in the bed. God, I know he say daily, but you just can't die daily, like the natural daily. I know a daily is a period, because it's a process, because I'm an old wretched man with that old wretched spirit and nature. But my desire is to be more like you, Lord. That's my desire. Even though my head pops up and it looks ugly, as you were saying, looking through the looking glass, sometimes I want to close it because it does condemn me. because I know the word of God is our path. And I can't, you can't explain that to everybody. You have to have that one-on-one relationship with God, and you have to indulge into the spirit. I know it had killed a lot in me now, because I know I ain't like I used to be. It's, the old bad habits and stuff. God can work on you on that. They kind of go away, but it's that nature. It's that nature that I have to let the word, work in me so I can die daily. So I'm thankful for being in the body of Jesus Christ and being a family, being a part of a family that really loves the Lord. And brother, when I came in here, that's all I felt was love. I didn't know where I was, but I knew that it was something in here that was like embracing me and said, here you are. This is where you need to be. And I didn't have all of that. I just felt that. I didn't have that understanding or anything. I just knew what I felt when I walked through that door, and it's still like that. That spirit is still here, that we can love each other and embrace each other in the power, in the love of God. So I'm really thankful for being here, and I'm sorry you put me on the spot, but I really had something in my heart to talk about, Brother Smith. Thankfulness, and God's grace, and help me when I fall, Lord. Help me get back up and keep, as they say, the world would take you back, but I don't want that. I know that. I know I don't want that. So you got to continue to keep growing in God, because the vision that I have, I'm coming through the gates, and I know right here God can work on me. Right when I come through here, God can work on my spirit. He can work on my mind, as you say. Where is that problem? I know it's up here. it's up here. But God is able to help me work on that, and I'm thankful for that.
feel so good in here, you just want to get up and kind of bask in that good feeling, that good Holy Ghost, and then that realization of knowing that we're working on something that God's been working on for 6,000 years since he made this world. And I appreciate the vision that God's given us, that today, you know, in this era, he's going to have a church just like he had back there that you read about in the book of Acts. To me, that's exciting. And then it's created quite an anchor in my life, not just to know that God's going to have a people down here that are going to make him their head. It's just like Jesus said. He said, foxes have holes, and that's political organizations. And he says, the birds of the air have their nest. That's religious organizations. But he said, the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. I'm glad that we got a vision today of making the Lord our head, of going the way that he wants to, of following after him and making him our whole life. And that's been an anchor. That's been an anchor in my life for all these years. Brother John, I remember when I first came in Midland, Texas, into the church. I'm glad that we don't vote people in and we don't vote people out, because I'm afraid y'all wouldn't have voted me in. I came in and had a minimum wage job with four little kids that someone once said that could tear up an anvil in a sandbox. But y'all took me in and loved us and cared for us and nurtured us. But I did go to a church one time where they put me up in a little chair right up here in front. And I was glad that some of my friends weren't there that knew me when I was running around before I got saved. And there was five or six of us, and they said, does anybody, it was almost like getting married. They said, does anybody here know of any reasons why these people can't join church? And I was afraid somebody was going to pop up and said, yeah, I saw him do this. And I saw him when he snuck in over there. I saw him in the store when he put that thing up under his jacket and walked out without paying. I was afraid somebody was there, but nobody was there. But I'm glad that we base this on God adding us to the church. I'm glad God's the one that adds us to the church, and he's called us to a great work, like Brother Smith was talking about in Bible study and then this morning, and that's created quite an anchor in my life. And my wife and I, we've been with Brother Smith now for 29 years, almost 30 years, and that's created an anchor in our life, the vision that God's given us, that he's put us in amongst the people. And I hate to say church, because it's bigger than this church here. There's a vision that God has been giving people, and an understanding that he's going to have a church down here, a white throne judgment where people can, God can have the culmination of everything he's been working for. And that's exciting to us. And that knowledge that God has added us to this has been an anchor in our life. We've been through some hard times. When we got married, you say those vows, you know, for better, for worse, for richer and poorer, and sickness and in health, until death do you part. And we've been married now, let's see, in 3 days, it's going to be 37 years. And we appreciate that. Actually, it's 4 days. It'll be Thursday. We'll be married 37 years. And when we got married, we were in California, and we never did think that we were going to end up in Texas and then in Missouri and all the way down here in Arkansas. In fact, when I was going to church out there, right before my wife and I got married, there was a man who took over the church that we were going to, and he was from Missouri. He was from Springfield, Missouri. And later I told my wife, I said, I would never, I would never moved to Missouri just because of the way that man talked. He used to spit when he would talk. He'd get excited, and if you were in the front row, the spit, it would just, I'd say, if the people are like that in Missouri, said I'd never go there. And it wasn't too long after that we were living in Missouri. So I learned, serving God, never to say never. But we've got these anchors in our life that's been holding us, that's been keeping us. And so as my wife and I, when we came in here and we started, you know, we had a family, then the family started growing up, and we went through good times and bad times. And then as the kids started getting married and having children of their own, that created a whole different set of circumstances in our life, and there's been times we really have. It hasn't been easy being away from some of my grandkids and some of my kids that still live up in Springfield, but I feel like that anchor that God put in our soul, this vision of a restored church, of going all the way with God. My wife and I, we've served Him ever since we were 16 years old, and we've determined in our heart, by God's grace, we're going to make it all the way, Brother Combs. We've hooked up with this train, and we're not about to get off right now. So I appreciate God. I appreciate the love for His people that He's put down in our heart. It's like Sister Rochella was saying, and Brother John was saying, this is a great people that God has brought us amongst. It's a people that can bring you in and love you and nurture, and y'all have gotten my heart, and I feel like you're just natural family to me. I feel like if I needed a bed, I could call Brother John up, and he'd say, come on over. In fact, he did that. We've slept in his house before, slept in his bed. Well, he wasn't in there, but he gave up his bed. Brother John and Sister Rochella, they gave up their bed. We came down for a meeting one time, and they just turned the whole house over to us, and I thought, what a wonderful people God's people are. And they didn't know us. They didn't know us from Adam, but they were trusting God and showing forth that charity that this body's been built on, charity for God's love for His people and for all those that God's adding. So I appreciate being a part of God's wonderful work today. I'm praying God would help me to go all the way. So thank God. Glad to be here. Hallelujah.
Ready to go. I texted my husband and said, let's go eat. Brother Duren got up and he was talking and reminiscing a little bit, and it kind of got my mind stirring. I was thinking, I'm always telling Brother Smith, being married to you is quite an adventure, and it's been a ride. And then I started thinking about Brother Durham's testimony, and I thought, every saint that's ever sat under him, it's been quite a ride and it's been an adventure. And I just appreciate the Lord today, and I really appreciate the ones that could come yesterday and showed their love to our granddaughter. But I was thinking last couple of weeks, you know, when we moved here, we weren't looking for a place to move. You know, it wasn't, you know, we were happy, but how the Lord has settled us all in, and you can't tell that we are one church and we are one family. And I appreciate every one of you here, and how we've all are a family, and we all love each other, and we show it to each other. Even if we disagree, it's a family. And then sometimes we might even get aggravated, but it's a family, and you still love each other. And I just appreciate what God's doing in our lives today. The mercy He has shown us all. And also wanted to say to Little Rock people, get ready, because Brother Smith will take you for an interesting ride. But I really appreciate, I'm excited about what God's doing today. When Brother Smith was telling me about Sister Dahl, and then I got the text from Sister Janie about her husband, I could just feel the Holy Ghost. God's not forsaken us. He's helping us. And sometimes it looks rough with the world the way it is and the things that's going on, and then some of the things that's happening that's coming into the church. Sometimes you get weary and you think, oh, God, are you going to have a people? And I keep reminding myself, He's going to have a people. And He doesn't need me to have those people. He'll raise up stones. He's going to have a people. He's going to have somebody that's going to go all the way with Him. And I thought, I'd hate to be 64, which I'm fixing to be 64. I hate to be 64 and miss out now after all these years. And I hate to be 85, 86, 90 and just give up because you let little things creep into your lives and negativity and disheartening, and seeing the way the family does, or seeing the way the world's going, or anything like that. And I have been in contact with a friend on Facebook that we grew up together, And she left her husband several years ago because he fought her all these years to become a Christian. She finally told him, "I'm sorry, I can't do this no more. I'm going to be a Christian." And she went back to Texas. And she was telling me about her job, how hard it is, and she works in the police department, and all the things that she does on the records, and how child abuse, rape, just all kinds of stuff that just weigh you down. And she's considering on going to the Dominican Republic with us on one of our trips. So her name is Linda Doolin, and y'all pray for her. I don't know if God's going to add her or not, but she's showing an interest and asking me little questions. I don't say much to her. I listen to what she's got to say about God. And she talks to me a lot about the Lord and her prayers and her meditation. So now she's expressing that she needs to go somewhere that's edifying, and that she needs to go do a missionary trip. So I asked her to go with us sometimes. So y'all pray for her. Her name's Linda Doolin.
Well, I think I'll sing a song. Take y'all on a little ride. Who do not know?
precious blood stains were shed there just for me. For all my sin, all my sickness, precious blood stains.
Choir practice today. Sister Jody's out of town. So service at 5 o'clock. Let's come see what the Lord will do. Hallelujah. I feel like something good's about to happen.